This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Get you going on a Friday morning. Good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works on Friday. It works every day of the week, but on Friday it works particularly well. The Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday, January the 26th. We are moving along the month very quickly in 2024. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute about his study at Cato that shows how sending most government spending back to the states will avert the ungodly national debt crisis that we are going through. I think you'll find it very interesting. We will be talking with him in just a few minutes. And the Texas federal standoff at the border continues, as the Biden administration demands that both the barbed wire and the Texas National Guard disappear. Go away. Allow those poor people to come in from other countries. We're going to take a deep dive into the subject. So stay tuned for that as well. And Kamala Harris has figured out why she and Joe Biden are doing so poorly in the polls. Now we know. I'm going to tell you what the answer is.
I know.
You just have to wait. We'll talk about that later, Mr. Ed. You just wait. Ed, we got a good top 10. Wait till you hear this one. Ed, you'll like this one. The top 10 strangest U.S. driving laws. And I mean, wait till you hear them. They are really strange, all right? By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Ed just got a beautiful haircut at Andrews. He and I both go there. They do wonderful work. And you love the ambiance. It's a great place. And the price is great. The price is terrific. So everything you want for men, Andrews Master Barbershop, it's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call first to get your appointment, 727-733-3773. And do you need any kind of tree work done on your property? Arbor Life Tree Service is the answer. Whether it's pruning, enhancement, removal, stump grinding, you name it, if it has to do with a tree, it's Arbor Life. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So we're going to start off by talking about this nonsense going on at the border. By the way, Christy Noem says she will pledge to ship all the razor wire that Texas needs on the border if Greg Abbott is stopped by Biden or by any federal force from continuing to retain operational control of the border, and particularly Eagle Pass and that area where so many illegals have been coming through. They should call it not Eagle Pass, but Ill-Eagle Pass. Meanwhile, The congressman who represents Eagle Pass area warned Biden that he would be, quote, an idiot to commence a standoff with the Texas National Guard. You know, the Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett and John Edwards, the Supreme Court Chief Justice, sided with the liberals in a 5-4 ruling that said that the federal government can force Texas to take down their razor wire. Well, guess who's thumbing his nose at that? The governor of Texas is not going to do that. And Kristi Noem says that Abbott is doing the right thing by standing firm. Not only Kristi Noem, you know, about 26 states are saying he's doing the right thing, and our good buddy Donald Trump gave his backing yesterday to Abbott amid all of what's going on there. And he urged other states, this is Trump, to send their National Guard to the Texas border. And he promised to work hand in hand with Texas to combat the invasion if he becomes president again. So if Texas can hold on for a few more months, right, and see if Donald Trump becomes the president. Now, as we said, the Supreme Court decided in Joe Biden and his administration's favor, granting an emergency appeal to allow agents to go down there and cut border wire. I don't think I'd want to go down there with a bunch of Texas National Guardsmen standing around. Hey, give me the wire cutters, would you? They're right over there. And sir, give me the wire. You, sir, standing here with a rifle, will you give me the wire cutters while I cut this, you know? So there you go.
Have you ever seen razor wire?
I wouldn't want to fall into it.
It looks deadly.
It does. Look at those prongs that stick out.
I mean, cut you in the wrong place, you bleed to death.
You got it. Yeah. It's dangerous, man.
I saw where the, I guess you can't call them illegals, but whatever they are.
You can call them illegals on our show.
Yeah. They were using, like, these cardboard tunnels or whatever. They would put them in front of them, like, in a V shape. And then they would, you know, try to move underneath them. But those things just, you know, they cut
right through.
They
can only last so long before the wire cuts through them.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Yeah. I mean, look, nobody wants anybody to get hurt. I mean, nobody
that's got any brains or
sympathy. We want these people to come in legally. You know, it used to be that you had to have a sponsor. You had to have something set up so that when you came to the United States, you wouldn't throw yourself on the mercy of the government. Years ago, my father and mother came in that way from Canada. My father had to have a sponsor, and he had to have a job when he came in from Canada. We were living in Winnipeg.
Right.
I was like 4 years old, and he had a job with the Tulsa Tribune newspaper. Mm. So they let him in.
Well,
the guy sponsored him for an X amount of time. And that means that if anything went wrong, that sponsor would be somewhat culpable.
Mm-hmm. I watched an interview with a Hispanic woman, and she was voting for Trump, and they asked her why, and she said, well, about immigration. She said, you don't realize, you know, 10 years ago, I came to this country, I went through all the channels, I learned all this stuff, I learned to speak English, that helps. You know, and I paid the fees and whatnot, and I'm proud.
And you also
have
to know the basics of our Constitution.
And it's not fair for those people that went through all of that, paid all of that.
Of course.
Then these other ones just get to slip on by because they're looking for work.
I think the people that would be most upset are the ones that came through fairly, and they waited, and they learned enough about our government. They had to know all kinds of things originally to get in here and do that.
And I'm not saying that because I don't want people to work, but I'm worried about the people that we don't know that are here. And you can't tell me that, well, it's maybe 1%. Oh, that's all it takes. That's all it really takes. And if you think that it's all just a bunch of migrants that are looking for work, and not people that are here to do us some damage. You're ignorant.
You got it. No question about that. All right, going to take our break. When we come back, Chris Edwards of the Cato Institute, he has a study at Cato showing how sending most or a lot of our federal government spending back to the states is going to avert the ungodly national debt we're going through.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on a Friday, and we have a great, terrific buddy of ours, Chris Edwards, from the great Cato Institute, joining us. He's the Kiltz Family Chair, excuse me, the Kiltz Family Chair in Fiscal Studies at Cato. He knows a lot about what's going on with our government spending, and my goodness, it ain't good. It ain't good. He's come up with, Cato and he have come up with a study that shows how decentralizing our government spending and sending a lot of it, if not most of it, back to the states would help start solving this debt crisis. Chris, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks a lot for having me.
I think this is a terrific idea. And I just wonder sometimes if people in Washington will listen to you, because you know what you're talking about. But would you give us a little capsule on both, you know, the crisis we're going through and your idea about the decentralization?
Well, here's the basic problem, as a lot of your listeners know, that the federal government has this unbelievably massive debt of $30 trillion that is building up. Debt has exploded in the last couple decades. Congress hasn't balanced the budget since under President Clinton. And this is a giant cost. The debt is now about $200,000 for every household in America. It's like the federal government gave every household a credit card and then dumped $200,000 on it. It's absolutely crazy. So what really struck me is that the federal debt is $30 now, but all state and local governments in America, their debt is only $3, about a tenth the size. So I looked into, you know, why this is, and it turns out, you know, state and local governments have a lot of different rules that require them to balance their budget and keep debt low. So what has struck me is that, look, why do we do all this spending in Washington? Why don't we let the state and local government do the government spending on things like the K-12 schools, and that way they're forced to be more responsible and balance their budget when they're doing this spending.
Absolutely. You know, and when we talk about this balanced budget amendment that so many states have, when I worked at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce years ago, during the Reagan administration, I remember we would always talk about, and Reagan would talk about, give me the balanced budget amendment. It was always on the lips of people, but it never got anywhere. It was like nobody in Washington really wanted to do it. They were afraid to do it or whatever, for whatever reason. So it never got anywhere.
Right. And so what I'm saying here is, you know, I'm all in favor of putting some sort of, you know, more caps and restraints on the federal budget. That's all great. But we don't have to reinvent the wheel. State governments, they're required to balance their annual budgets. They have debt limits, often as a percent of state income. They got rainy day funds so they can cover deficits. They're only allowed to borrow for capital investment. and the states have to compete with each other when they issue debt because of the credit rating agencies, you know, will downgrade a state when they get too indebted. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's just eliminate federal spending on programs like K-12 and housing and welfare and the like. Let the state governments do it, and they're going to be forced to make trade-offs on, you know, taxes and spending, depending on what the residents in each state want.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And I often wondered, why did the federal government get its claws on things like infrastructure and schools? And
well, I can tell you one reason why that is because the lobby groups figured out over during the 20th century that it's much easier lobbying one legislature in Washington than 50 state legislatures. So, in fact, you know, the federal government, as one example, started funding highways way back in 1916. And if you go back and look at that legislation, it's because of all these construction and engineering lobbies. At first, they went to the state capitals demanding better roads. Then they said, hey, that's a waste of time. Let's just go to Washington and demand that they do it from the top down.
There you go. And it's the wrong thing.
It's the wrong way to go for the, you know, there's a difference between the interests of lobby groups and the interests of the general citizens. And the citizens want accountable, local, decentralized governments that balance their budgets. That's what we want. Unfortunately, a lot of politicians want the opposite.
We're talking with Chris Edwards. He has come up with a study at the Cato Institute how we could decentralize most of the government spending coming out of Washington, D.C., send it back to the states. And by the way, you know, when you think about the whole concept of the founding of our country with our founding fathers, the idea was they were trying to get away from a centralized form of government, which, of course, England, you know, was overseeing them at the time. And they were absolutely deathly afraid of continuing that kind of a philosophy, and they remanded most all of the power to the states. They only wanted the federal government to do a few things, mainly to, you know, protect, you know, our defense.
No, that's exactly right. The federal government is one of strictly limited and enumerated powers, and most of the sort of plenary powers of government were left to state governments. Unfortunately, with the 20th century revolutions under Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson, that's been unfortunately obliterated. But one of the things that our founders also wanted is they wanted but failed to enact a strict limit on federal borrowing and debt. Thomas Jefferson and other founders like Madison and Albert Gallatin, their Treasury Secretary, you know, they wanted to strictly limit debt. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do it. And, you know, the first 150 years, even without a strict debt limit, the federal Congress was, they were responsible and they generally balanced the budget. The problem during the 20th century is that the politicians have become much more irresponsible. And now, you know, we haven't balanced the budget in over two decades and we've got a fiscal disaster on our hands.
So, Chris, how do we get the federal government to whatever it is, give up its authority on certain things? Like, they don't want to let go of that. Are we going to have to go to the court system? Will the states have to sue the federal government? How are we going to get a lot of this spending back to the states?
Look, I think the only way it's going to happen now is if you have a president, probably a Republican, who comes in and puts reviving federalism as a central part of his or her plank. And, you know, the last big reform and domestic policy in Washington was way back with welfare reform in 1996, which put a hard cap on how much money the feds gave the states for welfare, and it gave the power back to the states. So that's what we need to do with many other programs. A possible next term of President Trump, he unfortunately has said, hey, he's not reforming Social Security and Medicare. I think that's a giant mistake. But even aside from that, there's a hell of a lot that he, if he's elected, could reform. He could push. He could try to get the federal government out of K-12 education. He could eliminate federal housing programs and that sort of stuff. And argue that, look, if the states want to, you know, they can fund their own education programs as much as they want. There's no reason for the federal government to be involved.
Yeah. I'm not sure that Trump will do that. In fact, I would tend to think he won't. You know, he's going to be concentrating on a lot of things. But I've never thought that, you know, balancing the budget, although he'll give a little bit of lip service to it. Let's be honest. I think
events could force this. You know, we got $2 trillion deficits now. The debt's, you know, leapfrogging ahead, and I think there will be a financial crisis down the road. And I think at Cato, part of what we do is we're making plans here for when the crisis comes for what responsible legislators should do. So, you know, my new study looked at all the cuts we should make in the budget, all the things we ought to send back to the states, like the K-12 school funding. So when the crisis comes, we're ready, and we hope that Congress takes up these action items.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Is there anybody in Congress right now? I mean, I can think of one person for sure that I think would go along with this is Rand Paul. He's very much, I don't know what the word, he's very libertarian, I guess you might say. And I think he would listen to it, and I think he's got some say. But he seems to be like a voice crying in the desert.
Rand Paul is great, but I don't think it's quite as pessimistic as you framed it there.
Okay.
I think if you had a president that really pushed hard on reform, he or she could carry a lot of, you know, if it's a Republican, a lot of Republican members of Congress. You know, just like Ronald Reagan had a lot of moral authority and stature and was popular, he was able to get through Congress a lot of important reforms. I mean, when he got first elected, they passed a giant, spending cut package, even though the House was Democrat, just because of his sort of moral authority, and he put it as his top priority. So you need a president that prioritizes spending cuts and, you know, and has the popularity to really ram it through Congress.
Yeah, I think you may be right. We're talking again with Chris Edwards from the Cato Institute about this study of sending so much of what the federal government does back to the states, which is actually what was, I think, intended by our founding fathers. And boy, things worked a lot better before we had people like Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson getting their hands on all that money. You know, they sit back and they go, you know, look at all that money we can grab. And we can just promise that we'll redistribute it, you know?
One way to view the 20th century and all those big government moves, it was a giant mistake. People like Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson and many others thought that you could staff the federal government with experts, and they would be much more skilled and expert than the state bureaucracies. And so we ought to shift the power to Washington because Washington knew better. We all know that's completely false and fraudulent now. So many grand federal schemes have failed. We know that the federal bureaucrats, they're often self-interested in federal legislators. And so Washington is not a good place to make decisions for domestic policy. Those decisions ought to be made in people's own communities, in every state, in every city hall in this country, not in Washington.
Yes, indeed. I mean, look, we can take the Department of Education. The states are responsible for the education within their borders. I think infrastructure. I think a case can be made that the federal government doesn't need to control.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you something your listeners might not even know. I mean, people might think, well, we need the federal government because of the interstate highway system. Do you know that the interstate highway system is entirely owned by the states? You know, the I-95 down the East Coast, for example, that's owned by each state.
You know, the segment
in each state is owned by the state. And, you know, the way I think about it is with ownership comes responsibility. And the I-95 through New Jersey, by New Jersey, the I-95 through Virginia ought to be funded by Virginia.
There you go.
And that's the way we could do infrastructure.
I think you're absolutely right. They say, well, you know, Dwight Eisenhower, he created the interstate road system and he wanted the government to fund. I'm not so sure about that. I think we misconstrue the history of that.
Well, that's right. In fact, there were interstate highways before the federal government came in with the big 1956 law. There was a number of routes across the country that states and private organizations were organizing already. So, but anyway, regardless of the history, we don't need it now. The interstate system was actually completed in the 90s, and all we need now is to efficiently, you know, maintain and operate it, and the states are entirely capable of doing it.
Chris Edwards, I love you, and I think this is such everybody knows how important this is, because one way or the other, we're going towards the edge of the cliff. At some point, we're going to be swept off the cliff if we don't turn around and figure out a way to control this spending. And I think your idea is terrific. Thank you so very much. I look forward to our next conversation.
Anytime.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Chris Edwards. You know, I wish people would listen to people like this. You know, I hope that this study that they did at the Cato Institute somehow gets in the right hands. I don't know. It's hard to put the genie back in the bottle. That's the truth. All right. We're going to take our break. And we got a lot going on. When we come back, Kamala Harris. She was interviewed by Katie Couric. I know that you watched it, Ed. You love Katie Couric. And she told Katie why she and Joe Biden are polling so poorly. We're going to tell you why.
When I'm with you, I shake inside. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Friday, thank God it's Friday. Listen to this if you want to, I don't know. The White House is halting permits for several proposed liquefied natural gas projects over their potential impact on climate change. Come on. In a joint announcement this morning, the White House and the Department of Energy said that the pause would occur while officials conduct a rigorous review assessing the project's carbon emissions. Ah, yes. My goodness. Let's stop as much of our energy production as we possibly can. Let's be totally dependent on other countries. That's the answer.
What is the difference and the logic in us not drilling our own oil and because it's bad for the planet, but asking Venezuela to drill more and the Middle East to drill more?
Absolutely no.
What is the difference?
Well, it's even worse because their product is even worse off than ours for the climate. We have all of these things that we do that, to help keep, we follow the rules a lot better than, for God's sake, than Venezuela, certainly Russia. They don't give a damn about the environment. They just want to sell whatever they can sell. It's crazy. By the way, we got the Master Barber on the phone. Andrew, I'm so glad you're with us this morning. Listen to this. Vice President, your favorite Vice President, Kamala Harris, she was being interviewed by Katie Couric. And you know what she said was the reason that she and Joe Biden have such low polling numbers? I think he fell asleep. Is he there?
Yes.
There you are. Oh, no, we did not, but now we do. Go ahead.
No.
How you doing?
Yeah. I missed that one.
Okay.
This morning.
You didn't hear why. Okay. Here's the deal. Kamala Harris says that the reason that she and President Biden's numbers are in the toilet was due to they're not taking adequate credit for their accomplishments. So now we know. We now know why they have the lowest numbers you've ever seen when it comes to a president and a vice president.
Well, they are getting what they deserve as far as what they've done. Because if you really haven't done nothing, I mean, if you were saying how good they're destroying the country, well, that would be great. They'd be on the top of the list.
There
but
you go.
They're not doing anything good for the country. Not one thing, Paul.
You're right.
As we discussed, you want the economy to boom in this country, you got to do one thing: drill.
And that's what. The thing about Donald Trump. You know what he's going to do. And people, like with Nikki Haley, if you think about it, what's Nikki Haley said specifically that she's going to do? I think people would say, well, I'm not so sure I know, but she wants to make things better. I mean, you know, they'll talk in generalities.
That's right. Well, she isn't, like you said, they don't mention one thing. Trump, we know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
It's simple. And like I say, you want to switch the economy. And, you know, you were right when you were saying as far as Venezuela oil and Arab oil. They have their terms for oil, and they say what we have in our own country is called sweet crude. It's the purest oil you can get before it's refined, so it burns cleaner.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're going to do a hell of a lot better job if we do the drilling. And, my God, we've got all of this energy up in Alaska and all over the place.
Not only will we do a better job for keeping the environment cleaner, our economy will boom. People won't be menial jobs, working at Burger King now for $15 an hour. It became a career. The country can turn around. We need to produce something.
Indeed. Now, I got to, and you and I chatted a little bit offline about this, but I want to bring this thing up. Nikki Haley's campaign says that it hauled in about $1 million since Donald Trump warned GOP donors to stop sending her any money. She said on Wednesday, Trump posted this. He said, anybody that makes a contribution to Bird Brain from this moment forth will be permanently barred from the MAGA camp. We don't want them and will not accept them because we put America first and always will. And then Haley responds, well, in that case, donate here. Let's go. She added a link to her fundraising page. So, I wish that Donald Trump would be a little bit more measured. What say you?
I'm not saying nothing.
Well, you gotta remember, too, I mean, he's coming out and saying that, but every time Bird Brain Biden gets on a podium, he says the MAGA people. Well, he means that in a derogatory.
Of course he does. By the way, he got up there. Did you see him try to talk? He was at a brewery.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear him try to talk? No, it was scary how he was talking gibberish.
Yeah, I think I can find that.
Yeah. It's very sad. It's sad.
I saw one meme that when he walks away from the podium, he gets confused. He looks like one of those iRobot vacuum cleaners that goes around your living room.
Hey, I had a Biden day yesterday, guys. You know, I know what the poor guy's going through. I didn't know what day it was yesterday.
Yeah, you might have had a Biden day, but he has it every day.
I know, but I understand what the guy's going through. Right?
I was lost. You thought yesterday was Friday, right?
That's right, all day.
Hey, listen to this. This will get your blood boiling, Andrew. A California Democratic lawmaker has introduced a bill that would require all new cars in the Golden State to be equipped with a governor, a device that prevents the car from going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. How would you like that on your car?
Hey, you know what? That's no problem, because since I was a kid, I've been taking governors off of car.
So it wouldn't bother you.
That'd be no problem, buddy. We take care of that.
I tell you what, that would be terrible. Can you imagine if there was some dangerous thing going on?
Listen, they're telling you
what
everything.
What kind of thinking is that?
Listen, they're telling you everything you're going to do from now on. Forget about it, guys. This is America, the land of the free, you know?
And this guy's got the appropriate name for what he wants. This is Senator Scott Wiener from San Francisco. He introduced the speeding and fatality emergency reduction on California streets package. I guess if you figured out the acronym, it probably comes up with something like Spectre. Anyway, it includes a provision that requires new vehicles sold in California to install speed governors. You know how many cars would be sold in California with a speed governor? About half as many as are being sold that are totally electric.
They're hanging themselves. Listen, California,
oh my goodness.
You know what? But that's good. If the people keep leaving California that are normal people, then we can kind of push the liberal people all into California.
That's true.
If we could consolidate them, they can have their own country.
By the way, speaking about the California and those that would be left, did you know that there are a bunch of them living in tunnels?
Homeless people
in California were found living in caves, not tunnels, I should have said caves, in Modesto, near a Modesto River. They were living in caves before they were cleared out by the police and volunteers. The caves were about 20 feet below street level. Some of them were fully furnished, indicating that the vagrants had been living there for some time. They found things like bedding, belongings, food, all kinds of things. Drugs, of course.
Well, they better be careful.
And weapons.
They're going to start taxing them.
I know it. Oh, my God. What a world.
And you got Biden starting a fourth war in Texas between the National Guard and the feds. Huh?
Yes. Yes.
What do you think about this guy? Is he a cahoots or what?
Well, he's a total fool. And now, picture this. Is he going to send troops, federal troops, down to Texas, and we have a standoff between federal troops and the National Guard? Can you imagine how that would look?
What an idiot.
What a fool. It's unbelievable that... Christy Noem, our friend from South Dakota, the governor, she said, "I'll send as much razor wire as they need."
That's right. That's unbelievable. Well, we got 26 governors.
Yeah.
You know, standing up for it. So we got, 26 Republican governors and 24 or 25 Democrat governors?
I think you're about right. I'm sure all of the 26 that said they'll help Texas, I'll bet they're all... I'm sure they're all Republicans. I assume they are anyway.
Doesn't that show you how the country's divided?
Oh, my God. It just is, it's scary.
What is wrong with they just want them to keep pouring in? I mean, what's the deal here? It's like Niagara Falls at the border. I don't understand it. What is the purpose?
So Nikki Haley, apparently she's still got enough money, and she's going to hold out until the South Carolina primary, which is coming up, I guess, towards middle or the end of February. But I just can't see her going any further. I mean, if things keep up the way they're going, Trump wins South Carolina by about 30 points. She can't possibly want to continue after that.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? She's playing. As long as she's got money, she's going to play. It's not her money. If it was her money, it'd be a whole new different story.
Hey, by the way, we need a new vice president sweepstakes. Do we want to update who we think the vice president nominee will be for Trump?
I'm still saying Christy Noem.
Christy Noem, okay. What about you, Ed?
Well, didn't they attack Tim Scott yesterday?
Yeah, they attacked Tim Scott yesterday. You're right.
I think they may have handed him the vice presidency.
Yeah, and those are the two that I think it's going to be one or the other. I think it's either Tim Scott or Christy Noem.
Speaking of the president, I found that little the gibberish.
Yeah, let's listen to Biden at his
beer
finest.
Beer brewed here. It is used to make the brew beer in his finest. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why.
If I had to talk like that at the bar, the bartender would have cut me off.
But exactly.
That reminds me, with this, the way he talks, it reminds me of an old movie where this was said.
Hold on. He's got some.
Hang on. Oh, stewardess, I speak jive.
Oh, yes. That was a funny movie. Airplane.
Yeah.
Hey.
Airplane. That was great. Go ahead.
He'd make a good commercial for marbles.
Yes, he would.
Remember marbles in your mouth? Get the marbles out of your mouth.
Dude, when he does that, do the people in the audience, I know there's only four or five of them, but do they look at each other and say, what did he say?
Well, did you hear them laughing? It was like he was doing a stand-up comedy act.
Stop it. You guys are killing me.
Well, listen, Andrew, you were worried about getting a little bit of Bidenitis yesterday. But when you listen to Biden talk, you must feel like an Einstein.
Hey, let me tell you, I'm driving my Corvette today. I'm going to go outside and look in the back and see if I got any documents. Right at the back and fly them out the back. I'm going to take the top off.
The documents are allowed around the Corvette, just not locked in a safe.
Apparently, if you have a Corvette, you're allowed to get away with having some documents stashed in your garage. At least Biden does.
Oh, amazing. Goodness. Well, it's going to be great. That's all I can tell you. It's going to get better every day as we go on, right up until the election.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Andrew, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for calling in, my friend.
You got it, brother.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend. There he goes, the master barber himself, Andrew. So, Racy, you want to get the best haircut you can get, you got to get over there. You really do. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, hey, we got to talk about the playoffs with Ed, the football playoffs. But we also got to talk about the 10 top strangest U.S. driving laws.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Friday. It's the final segment of our show. You must be feeling very remorseful. We are here, by the way, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. But if you're not able to listen live or you want to hear the show again, I mean, they're so doggone good, I don't blame you. Thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are put on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. At the top, you'll see the word podcast. Click on podcast, and it will open up a page. You'll see all our shows, most recent at the top. You'll see who the guest is for the show. You'll see the topic with the guest, and you will see the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. Bless Big Ed for doing that. All right. Hey, Ed, you remember when we talking a few shows back about efforts by the Biden administration to remove a statue of William Penn from the Pennsylvania Park? Well, we got good news. The National Park Service has withdrawn its plans to remove good old Bill Penn from that park.
Well, that's one.
Yeah, that's one. That's about it, right? He's the guy that founded the state of Pennsylvania. They were going to get rid of him. My goodness, what were they going to do, rename the state? Maybe they were going to rename it from Pennsylvania to Transylvania.
Who are these people that complain? Who are these people?
It's usually one or two people is all it takes. Some nut comes around.
And they threaten a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And it's usually from somebody who doesn't get two nickels to rub together.
There you go. The preliminary draft for the rehabilitation of the park where the statue is situated, it's called Welcome Park, was released. Here's what they say. This is what the panel, the National Park Service, says. The preliminary draft proposal for the rehabilitation of Welcome Park was released prematurely and had not been subject to a complete internal agency review. That's the excuse they use when they got so much pressure and they decide that they're going to turn around and not do what they said they were going to do, right? So that was good news. All right. Ed, before we get to our top 10, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time because we are coming into, I think in many cases, if you're an NFL fan, this is your favorite weekend because you've got two games,
if one after the other. Well, no, we get,
on Sunday.
Both are on Sunday.
Both are on Sunday. And the AFC Championship game and the NFC Championship game, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we have Baltimore playing Kansas City. It'll be Kansas City at Baltimore. That'll be the first game. And then we've got the Detroit Lions going out to San Francisco to take on the 49ers in game two. So let me start with the first game. Kansas City and Mahomes, great quarterback. He's the way he's playing, he'll be a Hall of Fame quarterback. Going out to Baltimore, what do you think?
I know everybody's thinking Baltimore, but I think Kansas City, believe it or not.
No, I believe it.
You know, they just find ways, and they're pretty
healthy. He knows how to win, doesn't he, Mahomes?
Yeah, he does. And Baltimore tends to choke, you know. They got choked the last few years in the first round. And remember, they've only played one game in the playoffs now. So, you know, let's get too high ourselves.
That's so true.
You know,
so they might choke? In other words, they'll be too jittery to win the game.
I think so.
Okay. What's the weather, I wonder? I guess the weather will be tolerable. It's an outdoor stadium.
Actually, if I remember correctly, there was a front going to be moving through on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Because New York is supposed to get snow.
Oh, it might be snowing.
So I think it's going to be rainy. It's going to be one of those damp, you know, probably 30, 40-degree days. You know, but
that's good football weather, right? Yeah. Okay. So now let's go out to San Francisco, where the weather will typically be okay.
Yeah.
And we've got the Detroit Lions, speaking about a team that hasn't been around playing a lot of playoff games recently.
Yeah.
Look at Detroit. All of a sudden, here they are. What do you think?
Yeah, and they've won, but they've not been very convincing in their wins. So, but they have to go to San Francisco, and I think it ends for the Lions out in San Francisco.
Okay. So you're kind of predicting.
You got to remember they played their two games at home. The Lions did. They had the home crowd. And
yes,
they have
they
to
did.
Go out to San Francisco.
And they have to go out to San Francisco. We will not ask you for let's wait until these games are played and then we'll figure out what we decide
because,
who will win the Super Bowl. We don't know yet.
Well, injuries too.
That's true.
It can happen in the last game.
Right. Right you are. Is there anything else going on? I noticed that the our Lightning, our hockey league Lightning team is doing fairly well. Yeah. I think they won again last night.
Getting in that groove again. And one note on the Bucks: they lost their offensive coordinator.
Oh, they did. Oh,
yeah.
Tell us about that.
First year guy that everybody was praising. He moved up quick. He's now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to him there because they had a horrible year.
And people are still complaining about what our head coach Todd Bowles did to the Buccaneers at the end of the game there by not using a timeout and possibly getting the ball back. And he said his answer was, "Well, why delay the inevitable?"
So he just gave up at the end of the game.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
Not very smart with timeouts, and that's been his problem.
Do you think that everything, though, bodes well for the Bucs next year, the way things are going?
Well, now.
With their
not
quarterback?
Now. I don't know. Now you've got to bring in a whole new offense coordinator.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Whole new system.
We just don't know, do we?
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. There you go. It's time for our top 10, Ed. And I think this one's very interesting. Where do you hear some of these? These are the top 10. What I found, anyway, the top 10 strangest U.S. driving laws. Of all places, it came from something called EdgarSnyder.com. Edgar Snyder, I think, is some sort of a jurist that has a website, but he decided to come up with the top 10 strangest U.S. driving laws. So here we go. Number 10. If you are in Rockville, Maryland driving, you can be ticketed for cursing.
Okay.
You cannot curse while you're driving in Rockville, Maryland.
Gotta have your windows rolled down and very loud voice.
Do not scream out your window because you can be stopped and ticketed there. All right. Number nine. In Georgia, did you know that you can spit if you're driving a truck, but you cannot spit if you are driving a car? You are allowed to spit if you're driving a truck. Apparently, because if you're driving a truck, maybe it's because of the product that you're taking makes you have to spit from time to time. But that's apparently a law that's on the books. All right, number eight. In California, you cannot jump from your car if it's going over 65 miles an hour.
Oh, no.
There's a law that does not allow you to open the door and exit. I think that's terrible. I think you should be able to exit your car anytime you would like, and I don't care what the speed is.
I wonder what the penalty is for going 66. I mean, if you survive, you know.
By the way, it's in California, it is also against the law for a driverless car to go faster than 60.
A driverless car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Number seven. In Youngstown, Ohio, you can be ticketed if your fuel gauge reads empty. Think about that one.
So I'm just trying to have a...
You're on the side of the road.
Look at how they enforce these
things.
You're
on the side of the road with gas cans, and a cop comes by and looks at your fuel gauge. He may give you a ticket.
So he pulls you over, and because you're speeding... And he notices you don't have your seatbelt on, and he looks at your gas gauge. That's an extra $25 ticket.
Your gas gauge is on E.
Well, sir, I couldn't afford the $25 to put in my gas tank.
Yeah, or you can say, "But officer, I'm still able to drive the car. I've still got a few miles left." No, it says empty. I'm giving you a ticket.
And you just say it's broken?
Well, I guess you could say that.
I just filled it up. It's broken.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, number six. In Oregon, you must yield to all pedestrians on the sidewalk.
I didn't know you were allowed to drive on the sidewalk.
You are not allowed. Once you get out of Oregon, go ahead and run, drive right down the sidewalk, but not in Oregon. All right, number five. In Rhode Island, you must make noise when passing another car. You know, roll down that window and scream your head off as you go by.
Well, the opposite of the other place.
That's right. Number four. In Alaska, you cannot strap your puppy to the roof.
Yeah.
Now, maybe a penguin or a polar bear, maybe so, but not a puppy, okay? Number three, back to California, you can only shoot whales from your vehicle.
And does that have to be moving?
I don't know if they have to be moving, but you are allowed to shoot at a whale when you're driving, and they cannot ticket you.
The whale has to be moving.
I guess the whale should be moving. I'd be moving.
The car has to be moving.
There you go. Number two. In Montana, you cannot leave sheep unattended in the back of your truck.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
You cannot do that. They must be attended to.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, number one. In Denver... It is illegal to drive a black car on Sunday. Can you imagine them trying to enforce that rule? Can you imagine them trying to enforce? How did that rule ever
I'm
get
in
out
court
of
today for driving a black car.
A black
on
car
Sunday.
On Sunday. That's it.
Wow.
Oh my God! All right. Thank you so much. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We will be back on Monday. Be good and remember, freedom works.